So, good evening, everyone. I'm going to be talking this evening about my experience of friendship at the Buddhist Centre and really what I've learnt from it. There's lots of talk about friendship. I noticed even when I started there were lots of talk about friendship, and of course this year there's piles and piles of talk about it. But I haven't always found it easy, so I thought I'd sort of share ways in which I haven't found it easy, although I actually feel very blessed with lots of friends now, so, you know, just how things have changed. I think I found things hard at the beginning because I'm naturally quite shy. Most of the people I met in those days were younger men, and although, you know, that had its attractions, actually it wasn't quite helpful in making the sort of friendships I have now. And there was almost nobody in similar circumstances. So, you know, there was almost no one around who was married, apart from Dana Vera. And, you know, there seemed to be almost no one around who had a high-powered job, as I did at the time. You know, as I say, nowadays I feel really quite blessed with my friendships. So I thought it's interesting to just reflect on what's changed and, you know, how it's changed. And it's partly the result of time. It just needed patience and time to develop my own practice, time to make connections and to develop trust and time to get to know people. And it also required effort. I discovered fairly early on about this culture of meeting up with people. And I really pursued that. You know, if I found someone I met who was interesting, I'd ask to meet up with them. And I wasn't too bothered about people saying no. It's one advantage of being older that I thought, well, you know, I've got nothing to lose. If I don't ask, I won't meet up with them. If I do ask, I've got a good chance that I will. So that was, you know, that was really helpful. I used to invite people to lunch at my place of work, where we had a very good canteen. And then going on retreats, I found, was really helpful because, you know, you'd be doing activities with people or cooking with them, and somehow that, you know, really got to know people in a different way through that. And then particularly working on something with others. So for, you know, a couple of years, I helped produce a newsletter for the centre. And I had some very stimulating conversations with Vajrapriya doing that. And also, it gave me the opportunity to go around and interview people. And so that was another way. It was quite good. But the prime example was actually working with Padmasuri, who's here today. Jnana Siddhi, who was then heading Windhorse Publications, found out I was in publishing and suggested that I help Padmasuri with a book that she was writing. And I said yes, although I was actually someone whose publishing life was mainly commissioning maths books for schools. So I wasn't used to books which were only full of words. And but I thought, well, I'd give it a go, because I'd met Padmasuri, and I thought she was lovely, and I thought, oh, it'd be a chance to get to know her better. And it was fascinating. We had lovely discussions about the Dharma, and, you know, it gave me the opportunity to find out about what it was like working in Windhorse Evolution, and out of that came, Padmasuri became my private preceptor, and really good friend, so it was a lovely thing to do. So, what got in the way, or even now sometimes still gets in the way of friendships? One is that thinking friendship meant having meaningful, deep conversations and really not valuing sufficiently the sort of small, friendly interactions that were already there. And I think, you know, now I sort of notice them much more. The other, I think even more so, is having unrealistic expectations of people. So, you know, for example, when I was, you know, feeling very emotional about something, you know, feeling upset or whatever, you know, I tended to think that everyone else ought to be taking that into account. And, of course, everybody else has their own lives. So it's sort of just seeing that, you know, realising I wasn't the centre of the universe. And that what happens to me isn't of primary importance to everybody else. Also, sort of related to that was, I think, realising that different people are different. So, you know, I couldn't expect other people to be friends in the way that I was friends, or to do, you know, for example, I tend to really try to be on time for meetings, and not everybody else is like that. So, you know, there's a tendency to focus on what isn't there rather than what is there. That can be the problem, right? What I'm going to actually talk about now in the friendship is I'm going to go through just three words that Rushra Ketu tends to use, and I think it's really helpful, of looking at what's already there, so what's already good in friendship, savouring what's happening in the moment, and just thinking about what might, you know, steps that might, you know, I or others might take. And I'm going to look particularly at the Sigalaka Sutta, where the Buddha talks about four types who can seem to be who can be seen to be warm-hearted friends. So this sort of answers my thing about friends being friends in different ways. You know, that we can be friends in these various different ways. So, the four ways that the Buddha gives are the friend who is a helper, the friend who's the same in happy and unhappy times, the friend who points out what is good for you, and the friend who is sympathetic. And the Buddha gives four characteristics of each of these kinds of friends. What I've done is I've been reflecting about my friends and, you know, the qualities that they have, and tried to put them in the various categories. It hasn't always worked perfectly, but it's been a lovely exercise to do, and I think it helps to give a sense of what that kind of friendship might look like in our society rather than the Buddha's. So what I'm going to do with each kind is go through what the Buddha said and then a few reflections about lovely things about my friends. So, helpful friend, the Buddha said, can be a warm-hearted friend in four ways. They look after you when you're inattentive. They look after your possessions when you're inattentive. They're a refuge when you're afraid. And when some business is to be done, they let you have twice what you asked for. So I think one quality there is generosity. And, you know, my first thought is just, you know, the generosity of all of you in coming here tonight to listen to, you know, talks and such like. You know, it's... So let me just take a moment to savour that. It's just lovely to have you all here. And then, you know, people taking care of me in various ways. So, yeah, I've had shiatsu treatments. I've had my bike mended. I've had hints on how to use computer more effectively. I've had help carrying chairs around when I'm in the centre. You know, someone's seen me carrying chairs. I'm not going to give names to all the people who, you know who you are. People supported my classes and retreats, adding their experiences and wisdom, looking after other people there, and making sure that everything runs smoothly. People giving me meals, giving me presents of things I need or are helpful, such as good books. There are those in my Mitra study group who've brought along biscuits and chocolate. People who are calm presence, so to help feel safe. Also a friend who helps make me laugh and relax, which also is, you know, a counter to being afraid. So that's a helpful friend. So now let's go on to a friend who's the same in happy and unhappy times. And the Buddha says they can be a warm-hearted friend in four ways. They tell you their secrets. They guard your secrets. They do not let you down in misfortune. And they would even sacrifice their life for you. So they're people who are open about themselves and share their experiences. And that, you know, helps me to understand them better. And sometimes helps me to realise I'm not alone with my limitations. They're people who listen and try to understand and are empathetic. And I have sort of particular friends with whom I can sort of share and understand different aspects of my life. So, you know, some people, you know, we share how it is to feels to get older. Or old, I should say. Or an enjoyment of opera. Or of experiences when teaching. They're people, you know, have deep conversations, you know, sharing joys and difficulties. They're people who help out when ill or distressed. So, you know, I remember one when I was a Mitra and I had an operation, there was one friend who, you know, drove me home from the hospital, for example. There are people who give a hug whenever you see them, you know, however they are or you are. Or just those, you know, who simply smile and say hello and how are you. You know, all of that is, you know, just lovely, just being there in all times. So those people are the same in happy and unhappy times. And then the friend who points out what's good for you. So the Buddha describes them as they keep you from wrongdoing. They support you in doing good. They inform you of what you didn't know, and they point out the path to heaven. So these are the sorts of people who share bits of Dharma they find interesting and are practicing, or discuss ways of communicating the Dharma. They recommend books, talks, and videos. They share good poems. They give feedback about how I can practice better. Tell me about my blind spots, help to clarify ideas, challenge my views. They give wise advice when appropriate, and that may not be done very overtly, but, you know, often I think most helpfully people just embody the direction it's good to go in. I think the most extreme example of this was the last time I visited Sangharakshita. And I arrived, and you're told very strictly you're only allowed to stay with him for an hour. And I arrived, and he was listening to music and wanted to listen to it to the end. So we spent half an hour together listening to music. And, you know, at first I was feeling a bit frustrated because I had a bit of business to talk to him about. But then I just sort of relaxed into it, and he was just a lovely, quiet presence. You know, not at all restless or anything. You know, he was just sitting listening to the music. So, you know, I got to feel that this was actually such a lovely thing rather than just talking. So that's the friend who points out what's good for you. The next one is the sympathetic friend. This is the last one, sympathetic friend. And the Buddha says they can be seen to be a warm-hearted friend in four ways. They do not rejoice at your misfortune. They rejoice in your good fortune. They stop others who speak against you. And they commend others who speak in praise of you. So I thought these, you know, really appreciative and supportive friends. So they see the best of you. They're those who say thank you and send cards or emails, you know, appreciating what people have done. They also sort of help me appreciate, you know, what's good in my life and to build on that. Encourage me, particularly in taking a step I'm not feeling confident about. Again, when I was a mitra, I had one friend who always sent me a card awaiting my return as I came back from retreat. It was such a lovely thing to do. So I found it very positive to recollect all these kind and friendly acts and to appreciate them, really to savour these memories. And then I thought I'd just move on to focus on being a friend, you know. And what has struck me is that rather than thinking of, you know, being a friend or not being a friend, it's more helpful to think of acts of friendliness. And even to think of small acts of friendliness, you know, that it doesn't always have to be big. So I've just come up with just a few suggestions in the different categories, but I'm sure you can think of more for yourself. So, you know, being a helpful friend, you know, it can be helpful in any way that's appropriate for you. You know, it's even giving someone a cup of tea, you know, opening a door for them or whatever. I know that recently, you know, many people have been helping Vajradevi and Tejasvini in lots of different ways, you know, giving lifts and whatever. I've got down, this is a personal thing, giving chocolate. then there are those, you know, being same in happy and unhappy times. You know, I think just, you know, making eye contact and smiling with people is a lovely thing to do. Perhaps giving a hug, you know. I'm just, you know, again, just aware, you know, when I come into the centre, you know, just having someone saying hello in a friendly way, and it just makes an awful lot of difference. Sharing something personal appropriately is another way, or listening with interest to what someone else has to say about themselves. And then the third one about the friend who points out what's good for you. I think you have to do this carefully. I think the best way of doing this is really just to share some piece of Dharma that interests you or you've been practicing or reflecting on. And then, you know, being a sympathetic and appreciative friend. And that can just be including someone in metta bhavana and, you know, in particular trying to see things a bit more from their point of view, as well as sort of more obvious things like, you know, saying thank you and appreciating, you know, more obviously. And this is just the beginning, just a few ideas. You know, everyone has their own way because everyone is a friend in their own particular way. And I just thought, you know, you might like to reflect on just, you know, small steps you might like to take. You know, just small steps. And I like the business of using might. You know, it allows you to explore possibilities without feeling you have to commit yourself immediately. So my main messages are, you know, if I'm sort of advising others about, you know, if you too feel friendships aren't good enough. First of all, to reflect and appreciate the friendly relationships you already have. Secondly, to savour the moments of friendliness as they happen. And thirdly, to think of some friendly actions you might do. And I think it's just like, you know, the Buddha has this image of a water pot that's filled sort of drop by drop until it's filled to the brim. And I think sort of similarly, so little drops of friendliness just build up, so eventually you sort of feel that, you know, friendliness is just brimming over.